line 27, is not consistent with page 6, line 3, line 19. Shall the language be adopted to make this two priorities consistent? That's March 8th agenda. That's item 2 on March 8th agenda. Yeah. We'll backtrack a little bit later. I suspect we may have a little time on talking about that. Page 2, line 27.
I can verify that.
If you would.
6-3, what is missing on page 2, D, is that 6-3 said generally, and 2-D just says carry out its responsibilities on a substantive basis. Well, generally, we'll put in there for a reason.
Oh, well. Page 6, as long as we're in 7-3, line 19, must be the case, but I think we're fine.
Where are we?
Page 2, D. Says carry out its responsibilities on a self-sustaining basis, and 6-3 says generally manage the corporation on a self-sustaining basis.
Oh, I love that.
Now, which one would I
like? I'm morally committed to self-sustaining basis.
But do you like it with it generally in front of it, or do you like it without it?
I'd rather have it naked.
All right, we're saying carry out its responsibilities on a self-sustaining basis. That's what we're saying. In other words, delete on page 6. Line 19, where generally
The reason why that was put in originally by the committee, and to refresh everybody's memory, was that we were trying to make these management shalls as generic as possible and free from possible litigation, which is why we use the term generally, because that if you weren't, if someone could make the case that they weren't managing the corporation on a self-sustaining basis, that we didn't make it a little more generic in that sense, and I'm hoping that, that we weren't mandating absolute.
Look at number 4 right next to it on page 6. Then it says, since it's generally managed the corporation on a self-sustaining basis, you can take generally out of there because you still have number 4 that apply to the legislature for a subsidy that's required to maintain a service which is not otherwise self-sustaining.
And then, remember in laws, we're always, or bills, we're always saying, contrary to number 3 in section such and such of law such and such, and then we appropriate the money. And that's always a possibility.
I don't even need to do that. Is that fair? I know that we'll strike generally in line 6.
Any objections? Any objections? Okay. Item 3.
Thanks. Mr. Chairman, what about the plans?
Sure. There, you have to get back to the problem. All right.
Sorry.
I'm trying to get it. Okay.
Whereabouts are they?
In the hallway.
Okay. Page 4. Staff changes, line 11, item C. Signs would be changed to read, one voting member shall be our defendant and executive official of the American Railroad consistent with the Interstate Commerce Act 49 U.S.C. That set shall the new language be adopted. Page 4, 9, 11.
This is in response to the asterisk there next to connected carrier. And takes care of what connected carrier means.
In other words, it's in the Interstate Commerce
That's
Act.
That's correct.
That defines it. And
it states the prohibition against interlocking carrier.
By making that reference, there is no question about
that. That's correct. Sir. It makes it consistent with the Interstate Commerce Act.
Mr. Chairman, I move item 4 by 11 be deleted, and the amendment that is before us be added, substituted for it.
Promulgated on Class 2 railroads. They've also sent us the exclusions on the commodities that our railroad would be under, and all the other things that Lou promised to send over, went to the mail, express mail today.
It's page six, line 16. Line 16 out of 2 does not appear in the power section. Shall language be adopted to make the power section consistent with this provision?
Okay, where's the power section? Power section is on page 13.
In the language?
The language would be the same.
Is everything else in the power section?
You said the general thing at the power section.
Okay, this is a longer distance. Do we wish to put line 16, sort of off of page 6, into the power section on the page 13?
Mr. Chairman, if I can, on page 15. We are specifically referring in section 21, line 17 on page 15, to the Glasgow Railway Transfer Act that has to deal with personnel. I think the power section are specific in nature that broad management.
I
action at that time.
But I'm aware, as long as that is not a constitutional requirement, right to speak to the commission. As long as that's not a constitutional requirement, I think what we've been trying to accomplish here is to give the board of directors of the corporation the responsibility. And this just underscores that principle we've been working on.
Okay, item six, cleanup language, page 7, line 920, and page 8, line 6, item 6, change cost reduction or concurrence to approval. And shall the staff suggest you take off?
Chairman, I move that approval be inserted for concurrence or authorization.
Objection. So ordered.
That's consistent with the rest of the bill.
Right. Item 7, page 7, line 21. Line 21, item B, staff inquiry is House version of that requirement, which says 180 days after the first meeting, replacing 60 days of its establishment. Shall the revised language be adopted?
Mr. Chair, we forget. That railroad is operating today and is operating what some people think is very successfully. It is, we're not starting a new thing. We're not creating a brand new thing that we're dreaming up. 60 days is more than adequate, I think. I'd like to hold the line on 60. I'd like to make it to 30.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we place 180 days in that section instead of 60 days, if I could speak to my motion. Correct me, but the rules and regulations of the railroad that are in place right now continue in place until the board chooses otherwise, right?
Sir, I think they, as I recall, they do have to adopt those rules, at least the way it's currently drafted.
So the answer to my question is, from day, if they're going to start operating the railroad on the day they're appointed, they're going to have some rules to operate by, and the only reasonable thing that they can do at that point in time is to promulgate or adopt the rules that are in existence. So they will have rules to operate. They can't go 60. My point is, they can't go 60 days without adopting rules.
Is March correct or comment?
Statute, given that that is permissive, is not mandatory. Because may continue in effect.
Of course, the alternative would be to come up with new ones, I guess, is what, you know, that logically they would do one or the other. But your point is simply that they're going to have to.
My question is, will there be any rules in effect on day one?
This doesn't mandate it. The board is going to come into existence before they actually accept the railroad and have meetings. And you would assume they would take care of that issue and say that these will continue. They will do what the section authorizes. It will continue in effect on day one, but they have to actually act to do that.
Okay. Go back over that statement again. You're saying that this board goes into effect before the transfer is effectuated?
Sure. That's part of the issue here, that just organizationally, the board's got to get a bunch of people, put them together, and let them meet maybe for 2, 3, 4 months before they actually have the responsibility of date of transfer. If date of transfer is coincident with setting up the act, we've got a vacuum problem.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my motion.
Senator Calvert, motion been withdrawn.
Yeah, I will speak to that motion positively, but for a different reason. This only applies to the section of forced delegation. This is a section that says they will delegate these things. They can do any of the other things anyway. So if you give them more time, it's not going to hurt you. It's still delegation. They could delegate a heck of a lot quicker without this whole provision, and probably do it a lot quicker without any forced delegation. This was we went back through the original debate was should you by law tell the board that they're going to delegate to their executive officer, or should
just say, these things we want you, the board, to have to act on, the rest of the things you can delegate if you want. We chose the course of saying, yes, you have to delegate these functions. And if you're going to force them to make those delegations by statute without really knowing what the board would want to do on their own, then I think you get a better delegation if you give them a little more time to make them do it in the first 60 days of existence.
Well, and there's a practical problem. Establishment is the issue, and they may not have their first meeting for 60 days. It's certainly possible.
I don't want the board to be a social meal. Now, somebody's going to take this board position. They're going to know that the 60 days or whatever number of days is in there, and we want them to get in there and do it. But I don't want to give them 180 days to get their act together. I want to, and I think we forget that if you get good people on there and you get some railroad people on there, they're not going to need this time to do this. I mean, we're talking about pros in the field, and I've just made a couple of phone calls, and I realize how little we know, and there are people out there. You know, we act like we're inventing this wheel, and we're not inventing this wheel.
No, I understand that. Just at a point, and then we get a group together, it's a new subject. It takes a while for them to get rolling.
But it shouldn't be a new subject to them. I guess that's my point.
It may or may not be. It
shouldn't be.
Dr. Frank, can I get a comment?
Well, I think there's good points of view on both sides. But I think if we really look at this, no matter who goes on that board, they're going to have to get to working together and get acquainted, no matter how long they've been in railroad business and how much they know about it. A mechanic can go to another company. It still takes them a while to get familiar with that company and their procedures. So there's arguments on both sides. I think people should be in favor.
Mark, Mr. Chairman, one thing that might work is simply required 60 days from his first meeting. But part of the problem here is that establishment is this, the date this takes effect, and hopefully the popularity of appointments will go quickly, but it may be 25, 30 days before they have a first board meeting. And you might consider that as leaving it 60 days, but tracking the, I think the old language said, from its first meeting.
All right. What is the pleasure of the committee here on this particular item? Shall we accept the cost version of 180 days or leave the 60-day version that we have in the present draft? I'm looking for a motion.
Well, what about the comment on the 60 days after the first meeting?
Just one comment. Question to staff. This board is established. That doesn't mean they've even chosen a chief executive officer yet. And yet they have to, within 60 days, decide on and provide all the rules for delegating powers to that chief executive officer. If they don't meet for the first 30 days, we're crunching things pretty close.
Rick, this is a management technique. It doesn't matter if Santa Claus is coming in as the EO. We're saying whoever the EO is, these are the powers that these EO is going to have. So what this will be is in their interviewing process, if they pick a new EO, in their interviewing process, these things are going to be a part of that interviewing process. Do you have experience doing this, blah, 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 blah. And what this is doing is it doesn't matter who the person is. This is their job assignment, their principal job assignment from the board to the EO, in addition to the day-to-day operations of the railroad, will be these functions. So I just don't think that point was valid at all.
Question of training, if we have one. The language is after within 60 days of its establishment. When is it established? On the effective date of the act?
You could argue that it's established on the effective date of the act. You could argue that it's established at the time of the appointment.
And what it says, so what it says.
That's right.
Because the governor's going to have some time to decide on who he's going to put on the board.
That's part of the problem that we're getting to establishment, even if it's after appointment, but certainly if it's as of the date of creation, there is likely to be a delay before these people get set up and go on.
Well, I think, though, that we need to, amongst ourselves, at least agree what establishment means. To me, it says, well, the effective date of the act will establish the board.
That's what it means, frankly.
Yeah.
If we're going to interpretive meaning of its appointment, then that's what we ought to write in here.
The trick is, yeah, let's specify what you want. Where's the starting point?
That's right.
For the
establishment.
Now, it would be established as of the date it's created, as of the date they're appointed, or as of their first meeting.
Well, the point of the whole thing is the board is authorized on the date of the passage of this bill. But there is no board yet. It's authorized, and there will be no board until they are appointed.
That's right. And it might take 60 days to appoint. It's
well, I have no problem with the 60 days after the board is a board.
And that's what we're
so saying. Do we need language then to say...
First meeting.
Yeah.
We're right back around where we were 10 minutes ago.
Okay,
yeah. That'll probably end up being 180 days.
All right, perhaps.
Some of the people that we're going to try and get on this board are not going to be able to pack up and leave and be here the next day and start an operation. Some of the people we hope to have for a chief executive officer may not be able to start off immediately either. I would leave the railroad alone and let it run while they figure out what's going on. And that might take 180 days, might take longer than that. But the railroad sits out there and runs just as it's always run. And, let them figure it out before they get in and stir it up.
Okay, essentially what we're saying here, then, is somebody correct me, that the board is going to delegate powers and duties and the management of the daily affairs, et cetera, of the railroad until the executive officer is selected. Which would be 180 days after the first meeting. Somebody got to run this horse.
People that are running right now.
I'm just sure that they will stop there.
Yeah. All right. Is it the will of the committee that we go to 180 days on this? That's my question.
No, I object to that, Mr. Chairman.
All right. What is
I like 60 days after the first board meeting.
Okay, shot. Something you.
I would take 60 days after.
Me too.
60 days.
With a caveat that there will be a wording first meeting.
Page 8, line 15, it says here, item 6, change for consistency with 42.40.310, adopting long-range expansion capital improvement program plans. Shall new language be adopted? Do we have some problems with
that? Mr. Chairman, you wanted to add a two-year program plan requirement to the existing requirement for a five-year capital improvement expansion plan. And as I recall, in this language, wherever it was, would take care of that to make it consistent. And so, page 16, and we're referring to the change of 310, actually, this should probably be better. The changes that are noted in number 12 would require that you do number 8.
It's just a technical change. You all have to have a program plan permit. You go ahead, and this would mandate the board concurrence to need for adopting that plan.
In that case, I would look for a motion to move item 8. Any motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the language as proposed by the staff for page 8, line 15.
So ordered. Item 9, new number 14 on line 29 of page 8.
Is that right?
requires that you follow it. The board has to approve the minimum operating budget.
Sure, part six.
Wait a minute.
Page 8,
right here.
Page 7, 19 to 20.
Okay, got you.
So, okay. Any problems?
Yeah, I got the same question about the graduates. There's a question, there's a question about that.
Okay, there might be. In a bill, there's special place in the bill that says, this loss would proceed to other agencies. Under law, under state law, there's some conflict.
With respect to state law, but not with respect to federal law.
This would be on page 36, section 42.9K. If provisions 42.0.0.99 conflict with provisions of other law, the provisions of this prevail. It doesn't seem to me like that we've written anything in here that would conflict with the state requirements for use of public pesticide project. And so my question is this a redundant type of language to put in the law?
Any people in the audience would speak to this proposal or contracts or other transactions.
Mr. Chairman, I might also add that your legislative counsel has had a problem, an ongoing problem with Section 1 Chapter.
Mr. Chairman, at this point, we have eliminated that language from this section.
Right.
This section still didn't have one power for the
day. All right. Has the staff got any other loose ends here that we need to take care of on flag seven?
I would like to hear what this to the new members. I would see things for tomorrow.
I appreciate that very much. Now, go back to one.
Explain anything else you got yet. If it's a matter of remaining, because it's just one.
government, right? And that's technically all grain covers, right? I'm not sure if it's all crops, right? Or eliminating the collective use of center. What is it that you're afraid of here?
My concern is that by law, we're saying to define the collective bargaining, we're defining collective bargaining, right? And we're saying it means they need to defer whatever with representatives or employees for this organization on any organization, not just an employee, because that's what it means to say. That's for the sport. I just have an annoying feeling that the word in matters will be an inclusive statement, not based on the existing social plan, or should be.
I think that's
what
you're saying.
I
regulations, and make some regulations on exemptions. Attorneys committed to our approvals and board of directors in the last railroad program. I would suggest that if we're going to have a railroad labor relations agency, that's where those exemptions should be submitted. So I, well, okay, we've got the railroad employee labor relations agency, and you've got exemptions from the provisions in 39 of the Act. Normally, to get exemptions, you have to go to the personnel board, the treating board. You've got a separate personnel board labor relations agency for railroad employees.